You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant. Still fully vaccinated, still dodging variants like Neo in The Matrix. As always, we are joined by producer Justin and the specialist. It's a cast of dozens that helps us put this show together. But just as importantly, the man in the box to my, I guess, right, left? I can never. I get all turned around from like... Little dirty little secret for those of you who watch the streaming show that we do from home. The boxes, as they're situated, are opposite of the way it looks. I know it's confusing. What I'm saying is Mike Florio is here with me. That was a long roundabout way to introduce you, Florio. But happy Monday. Are any of your fantasy teams still fully functioning and healthy after this past week?
Oof. Fully functioning, yes. I have one team that I don't have a lot of injuries on, which sounds great until I tell you that I make the wrong starting lineup decision each week. Like, I benched Chase Claypool last week, started him this week. It's just... It's been going wrong there, but yeah, so many injuries right now.
So many injuries, and then to make it worse, this week is Bye-mageddon, and I'm sure we'll probably dive into that more on Wednesday's show. But you know, in fact, I saw a friend of the program, Scott Pianowski, he does great work over at Yahoo. He tweeted this morning: this week your team was all injured. Next week your team is all on a bye. So good luck to everybody out there. Of course, we're here to try to help you through it, try to help you along. We'll recap what happened this past week. We'll also ask, which big name receivers should you consider trading away? We'll get you ready for Bye-mageddon, as I mentioned, with some waiver wire picks, and we preview the Bills and Titans on Monday Night Football. But let's start with some fantasy headlines, and we will begin with a trade. It actually happened. I had sort of given up on it. Zach Ertz gets traded to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals, not long before making that deal, had lost tight end Max Williams for the season with an injury. I had written in my weekly sleepers column, I had Zach Ertz as a sleeper, and I think I started the paragraph with, well, it looks like Zach Ertz isn't going to get moved. And that take aged like hot milk, or like milk, I should say, in a hot car sitting on the dashboard. But he is in Arizona now. So now that that's happened, does he have tight end one potential for the rest of the season?
I think he has tight end. I mean, there's like 9 usable tight ends. So after that, yeah, I think he definitely is in the mix of tight ends who could round out the top 12. The only thing I think with Zach Ertz, and this trade, Marcus, it didn't just confuse you. Like, it broke some fantasy apps out there and a lot of people having issues like what to do with Zach Ertz this week. His stats from what he did in the game on Thursday night should be what counts. But I think it's worth practicing patience with Ertz. Like, I don't know if I'd want to start him next week out of the gate, his first game in this offense. I kind of want to see him get acclimated and be used. And then once he is, then I think he is in the tight end one discussion. I think he's a better player than Max Williams, who was surprisingly fantasy relevant this year. They will use 4 wideouts, but I think Ertz will be in play there. And I think Dallas Goedert is a big winner as well, because I don't think enough people realize Ertz has consistently out-targeted Goddard the last month in every game. So with Ertz out of town now, that makes Goddard a clear top 2 target in that Philly passing game. And I think he is a tight end one moving forward for sure.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the biggest part, is that we sort of get Dallas Goedert back in our lives after he was kind of splitting those opportunities with Zach Ertz. I do think there's potential for Ertz. I think you're right. It may take a couple of weeks. Although I will tell you that I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in lineups this week, just because people may need a tight end and he's as good an option as there is out there. But you want to talk about an embarrassment of riches in that Arizona passing game. We'll dig into some of their wide receivers, but you've got 4 really good wide receivers. Now you've added a tight end. You've got a couple of running backs who've been productive. It is just more reason to love Kyler Murray in case you didn't already. And if you didn't, I don't really know where you've been. But I think Zach Ertz is going to be a guy that is going to help some managers along. I'm not going to say he's a league winner, because I don't think that's the case. But hey, the more tight ends we can get, the better, right? I feel like that's always good news. Not good news down in Carolina. This is what happened over the weekend, and we didn't get a chance to get to it, but we're getting to it now. Christian McCaffrey placed on injured reserve, still dealing with that nagging hamstring injury. And the simple question, Florio, is, are we starting to fear that this is going to be a repeat of what we saw last year, where it was always seeming like McCaffrey was close to coming back, and just when we got excited, he was gone again? Are we worried about this?
Maybe a little bit, because he was practicing leading into week 5. And remember, they were like, oh, there's a chance he could suit up this week. And we were like, oh, wow, he's only going to miss 1 game. Then they didn't. And we were like, okay, they're practicing caution here. We're cool with that, because it gives him an extra week to rest. And then we could get him at 100% back in our lineups in week 6. And then all of a sudden he's on IR, which tells me that at practice, he likely suffered a setback and re-aggravated that injury, so it's going to take longer to heal. It's frustrating for sure. I think you, after seeing what happened last year, you have to be a little concerned, but last year was a bunch of different injuries. Like, he had the hamstring, then it was a high ankle, then it was a shoulder. So I think it is still a little bit different from last year. And I know it could be risky, Marcus, but I'm practicing like going out and trying to trade for him. I haven't been able to pull it off in a league yet, but if there's someone out there with CMC who's 2-4 or something like that and starting to freak out and you have a winning record, I think you try to get CMC, because yeah, the next couple of weeks might be tough, but if he is back and anywhere close to 100% down the stretch and in the fantasy playoffs, that alone could win you a championship, because I still believe when healthy, he is the best player in fantasy football.
I have no doubt about that. It's just, you know, I know for a lot of people, the waiting is the hardest part. I have fielded questions from people who are either being offered CMC or trying to trade him away, just because I think they're sort of worried and tired of waiting. It is a really tough spot to be in. I'm in a league where I have McCaffrey, and I haven't thought about making the move yet, but I am getting antsy trying to figure out how to fill that gap on a week-to-week basis. I will say this, Chuba Hubbard has been okay. He hasn't had the huge big game. His highest score was actually yesterday against the Vikings. He gave you 13.5 fantasy points. So it hasn't quite been as good as Mike Davis was. But you know, he's not bottoming out on you, I guess, is the sort of the other side of it. So it's frustrating yet again. And we talked about this last week on the show. So at this point, after 2 years of this, I have a hard time thinking McCaffrey's going to be the consensus number one overall pick next year.
I do not think he'll be consensus. I think that he'll be in the discussion still, like, oh, should he go number one overall? But I'm right as of right now, I can't tell you that there's going to be a consensus. I think it might be one of those years where there's like three or four names and you kind of just have to take your pick.
I probably agree with that. Derrick Henry's going to be in that mix. McCaffrey will be in that mix. What, Dalvin Cook maybe in that mix as well?
He could be in there, yeah.
Possibly as well. So there you go. One other piece of news that happened this morning. Kareem Hunt, I hate to say this, is likely going on injured reserve. He was carried off with a calf injury in the fourth quarter of their loss to the Arizona Cardinals. This was in a game where they were already missing Nick Chubb with an injury. Now it looks like for at least the next 3 weeks, they probably won't have Kareem Hunt there. I mean, I guess the easy answer is there anybody, D'Ernest Johnson, Demetric Felton, is there anybody in that backfield that you like without Hunt and potentially Chubb next week?
I think both of those backs should be added off the waiver wire. My preference as of now is D'Ernest Johnson, because I think D'Ernest Johnson is more built to be a lead back. And the Browns play on Thursday night. It is a quick turnaround for them. This is a game, like you said, they might be without Chubb and Hunt, and their quarterback needs to keep his left arm pinned to his body to be able to throw right now. So I anticipate a lot of running if all three of those guys are banged up like they are, which I think the volume will then go to D'Ernest Johnson. But Felton, who doesn't have a carry yet on the year, has been used in the passing game. So I think if Chubb is back either Thursday or maybe week 8, I think Felton then still has a role as that Kareem Hunt style of running back, the pass catcher for the Browns. So because of that, I think Johnson's ceiling is higher, but I think Felton's floor the next 3 weeks is a little safer because he's not as impacted by Nick Chubb. So I think both of them, though, should be picked up as of now.
Yeah, Demetric Felton was a guy who did catch some passes. He was a wide receiver for part of his career at UCLA, so he definitely could fill in the passing game if need be. He ended up converting to running back after Josh Kelly left and was drafted. Then Felton kind of went to the running back spot, and so that's sort of where he has been ever since then, but definitely could factor into the passing game if the Browns need him to. But, man, it is a rough situation for Cleveland. It's rough for fantasy managers, and we'll keep an eye on that as we get to Thursday. Time now for things we learned after watching another Sunday of NFL football, things that we have taken away from it to maybe help us and you get better at fantasy for the weeks to come. So what's rolling around the noggin right now?
I mean, the talking point of this year has been like backup running backs with all the injuries. And I learned that, like, yes, they are very much so worth your top waiver claims or worth a lot of fab off the waiver wire. Just look at this week alone. Darrell Williams was the RB6. Khalil Herbert, RB10. Then you had Alex Collins at 16. Chris Evans somehow got in there at 17. Rhamondre Stevenson at 19. Devontae Booker at 23. So a lot of names in recent weeks that we have been talking about grabbing off the waiver wire are paying dividends. Chuba Hubbard was RB21. So, yeah, I know they're not giving us the production that their starters would be if they were out there and healthy, but they are helping you survive the injuries. They're definitely going to help you survive the bye weeks, and it's why I would take a shot on both of the Browns guys this week, and it's why I've been kind of in recent weeks preaching, instead of having like a 6th wide receiver on your bench, grab one of these running backs that if the starter gets injured, they are going to see a big workload, because it's been just paying off each and every week. The top waiver guy is a backup running back who's elevated to a starting job, and we're seeing it pay dividends as people get them into their starting lineups.
I know people have looked at the last few weeks and sort of leaned on the, hey, this turned out to be a good year to do zero RB. And I feel like you and I may have talked about this at the beginning of the season, that there's always an opportunity for these backup running backs, but I think the hard part of drafting zero RB, at least for me, is that you have to sort of guess right. You know, like, I don't think anybody ever anticipated we'd be talking about Khalil Herbert or Demetric Felton at this point in the season. So even the astute zero RB folks out there, you know, I'm sure there's still some swings and misses.
I mean, there's a bunch of the top receivers have disappointed this year, too. Like, if you went zero RB and took, like, Stephon Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins at the turn, I'm sure you're not feeling great right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, Allen Robinson still is looking for a decent game, and it hasn't happened for him either. So, yeah, that does factor into it. For me, I'm realizing that Sam Darnold has come back to earth. He's come back to reality. The last few weeks have not been very good. The first couple of weeks, not only was he, you know, throwing touchdowns, throwing for yards, he wasn't turning the football over. The last few weeks, that has changed dramatically. The turnovers have gone way up for Darnold. Some of it is on him. Some of it is just bad decision-making and poor throws. Some of it is playing behind an offensive line that is really struggling to protect him over the last few weeks. Two turnovers on Sunday, three turnovers the week before, two the week before that. It really has sort of fallen apart the last few weeks for Darnold. And so that hope that maybe he could be a solid QB2 for you and carry you through Superflex or two QB leagues. While it's not dead, the dream is flickering right now. So, look, if you're in one of those Superflex leagues, you're probably starting him because, again, Bimageddon's happening, but the expectations, I think, are sort of lowered for Sam Darnold going forward. How do you feel about it?
You could take Darnold off the Jets. You can't take the Jets out of Darnold.
Apparently. same with Robbie Anderson, too, because Robbie Anderson still can't figure it out. That's been the biggest head-scratcher all year.
Although, I will say on Robbie Anderson, I actually put him in the waiver wire column this week as like a, if he gets dropped, I'm okay still adding him. Only because I know he's still playing poorly, and I had him as a drop a couple weeks ago, but he has 29 targets in his last three games. Like, that's hard volume to ignore. But, yeah, I don't think you could start him right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get him the ball. He and DJ Moore
He just forgot how hands work.
Apparently that's the issue. The Panthers pass catchers yesterday had a really, really rough day. All right, it's time for a break. When we come back, we will look at some of the top performers, and we will sprinkle a little bit of salt on some folks who maybe let us down in Week 6. Stay tuned for that on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Taking a look at the week six top performers, your number one scorer, CD Lamb. I will tell you that I needed that in a league, but the rest of my team was terrible, so it really didn't matter. But 36 points out of CD Lamb. Cooper Kupp continues to go strong. He had 34 points, was number two. Leonard Fournette comes in at third. Adam Thielen at number four. Well, his maybe his biggest game of the year. Jalen Waddle is at number five. Jonathan Taylor in the second half. They figured out how to give him the football. He ends up with nearly 29 fantasy points. Kirk Cousins is seven. Dak Prescott is at eight, although maybe injured himself late in that game. Something to keep an eye on going forward. Joe Mixon at nine. Donovan Peoples-Jones slides in at number 10. One of the bigger surprises, I guess, two touchdowns will do that for you, especially when Odell Beckham Jr. ends up having to leave the game, temporarily at least, with an injury. Rest of them, Kyler Murray is at 11. Jalen Hurts, you know, by hook or by crook, he's going to get you 20 points. It wasn't pretty, but he gets you 25. Daryl Henderson, another solid game. Antonio Brown was at 17. Daryl Williams, a nice game, ends up at 18. Aaron Rodgers and Cortland Sutton end up rounding out the top 20. But let's go back and talk about Leonard Fournette. He was your number three scorer this week. And if you look at his usage the last few weeks, it has been dominated by Leonard Fournette in the backfield. So, with that in mind, is he an RB1 for the rest of the season?
I think so. I think there's a lot of people out there who will be like, no, he's not. He's an RB2. No way you... But, like, name me 12 running backs right now that you would take over Leonard Fournette. It's... Maybe it's borderline, but I think he is definitely in that discussion. You talk about the usage, Marcus. His last three games, 23, 16, and 28 touches. What I like most is he has at least five targets in all three of those games, and that is with Gio Bernard playing. He's got over 110 scrimmage yards in each of them. Three touchdowns in his last two games combined. And again, he's just topping 20 fantasy points consistently as of late. So, yeah, I think with the usage he is seeing, it's funny. Time is a flat circle. Like, last year we did this thing where it was, oh, is it Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette? And it came out like Leonard Fournette is the better of the two running backs. He's especially in the playoffs. And we all kind of thought, like, all right, he solidified himself. He had to win the job again this year. But, I mean, he's just proving that he is the back that, one, Tom Brady clearly trusts the most, and that goes a long way in Tampa Bay. And two, I think he's just the better all-around back of their three options there.
He really is, because he gives you the straight-ahead, kind of between-the-tackles running ability that they want from Ronald Jones, but he gives you the pass-catching ability that you expect out of Gio Bernard. He is, you know, he is chocolate and peanut butter together, so I don't know why why we can't get more excited about him. I really do think... For fantasy, we've just been scarred by Bruce Arians and the way he sort of uses these running backs. But Leonard Fournette checks all the boxes, right? He's a starting running back who's getting the majority of the snaps, who catches the football out of the backfield. He really, truly is everything we want. It's just that we have dealt with the Buccaneers sort of rotating guys through for the last few seasons, and I think we're sort of a little bit wary of that. But right now, all signs point to this really belonging to Leonard Fournette there in Tampa. In Arizona, we talked about the trade, Zach Ertz going to the Cardinals, replacing the injured Max Williams. But as you pointed out, there are still four wide receivers there that are getting a lot of work. We know DeAndre Hopkins is going to be Nuke. Even if he's not putting up the monster video game numbers, he's still the first option in the passing game. Rondell Moore has become a nice guy to get touches to. They're manufacturing touches for him, however they can get him the football. And then sort of in the middle, you've got A.J. Green and Christian Kirk. And both of those guys had really good days on Sunday. And they've sort of been alternating, I feel like, you know, week on, week off. If you had to pick one for the rest of the year, who would it be?
I would go with AJ Green because he has been more consistent. Like, he had the one down game last week where he only had two targets, but besides that, he has six targets in every single game this year. He has been consistently playing the second most snaps for them, and he has topped 16 fantasy points in three of his last four and over 13 in four of five. So he's been productive as well and consistently productive. I don't think his ceiling is as high as Christian Kirk's, but I think his floor is safer. The way because I had to write about AJ Green for like the fifth time in the waiver wire article this year, like, pick this guy up already so I could stop writing about him. But I said that I think Green brings the best combination of a safe floor and a pretty high upside, whereas I think Christian Kirk has a lower floor but a little bit higher upside, and then Rondell Moore is just the swing for the fence type of play. But I do think all four of them could be rostered in like a 12-team fantasy league.
I absolutely think all four of them should be rostered. If you're anything above 10 teams, then all four of these guys should not be available on the waiver wire. And I would go with Green as well. I think a lot of what you said is what I'm feeling, that he does give you that safer week-to-week floor option. And I remember in the preseason, preseason we know is when everybody is going to be great and everybody's going to have the best year of their careers. And Kyler Murray was saying, hey, guys, watch out. AJ Green's going to be back. He's going to be productive. And I think we all were kind of like, yeah, all right, sure. But turned out to be right. And AJ Green is having a very nice season down in Arizona. Look, maybe there's something to him not having to carry the offense, knowing there are other guys around there that can pick up the slack and just kind of letting him do his thing. Whatever it is, I feel better with his week to week consistency than I do with Christian Kirk. I said at the beginning of the year, I'm sort of out on Christian Kirk, which is why he's having a good year. So I'm going to keep my stance, and I'm going to go with AJ Green and see how that works out. All right. So from the good to the not so good, that gets us to this week's version of I'm Salty, the guys that we are disappointed with. For you, who let you down this week?
I was originally going to go with Frank Reich because he only gave Jonathan Taylor three touches in the first half. And then people in my mentions are like, Oh, you're happy with the end of the game results? And I'm like, stop it. You're all enablers. We shouldn't be rooting this on. But Jonathan Taylor ended up playing well, so I switched it up. I'm going with Keenan Allen here. And Keenan Allen is someone that I was talking up all week saying, I know it's obvious to say that you should start this guy, but he hasn't been playing as well as we expected. Like, he doesn't have 20 fantasy points in a game this year. And this is a Ravens defense that has really struggled against slot receivers. Plus, Mike Williams was limited. Like, Mike Williams was on the sideline a bunch this past week. And the Chargers were down multiple scores throughout this game. So you would think game script, volume, everything breaks right for Keenan Allen. Yet he comes away with just 5 catches for 50 yards and 10 fantasy points. He has not been the wide receiver one that we've drafted him to be. And in fact, I'm starting to think, is this guy more of a wide receiver two right now than a wide receiver one? Remember last year, Justin Herbert was peppering him with targets. That just hasn't been the case this year.
Yeah, that was a huge disappointment yesterday, that game. I came into it with high hopes. One, just to kind of watch. I thought it was going to be an entertaining game, and the Ravens just ran them out of the building pretty much from the beginning. And you're right, with no Mike Williams, you would have expected more from Keenan Allen, and it just didn't happen. So, like you, I had a name that I had to scratch out because things changed as the game progressed. I was worried about Dak Prescott. I mean, early in the game, he threw an interception. He fumbled. It was not looking good. They were struggling to really generate any kind of offense against the Patriots. But then he figured it out, and he ended up with 26 fantasy points. And then CeeDee Lamb had the big game. So I had to kind of scratch that name off my list. And instead, I turned to Taylor Heinicke. And maybe I should have seen this coming. This is a thing that Adam Rank pointed out later in the week last week, that everybody seemed really big on Taylor Heinicke. Everybody was picking on the Chiefs defense. It just seemed too obvious, and so something bad was going to happen. And there it is. Just about 9 fantasy points out of Taylor Heinicke after he had really been able to take advantage of good matchups. And you just see him just missing throws, just a lot of overthrows, just off all day. And Kansas City finally getting pressure on a quarterback. And so Heinicke was more an option in some of the super flex leagues I play in, but I really thought it would be better than it was yesterday. So maybe I should be salty at myself for sort of buying in on this, but Yeah, so I don't know. Is that more the real Taylor Heinicke, or was it the other guy, or is it in between?
I think it's in between. I think this is part of Taylor Heinicke, is that he's going to be inconsistent. Like, he's going to have some good days where we're like, all right, it was fun using him in fantasy, and I don't think he'll disappoint like this. I was right there with you on him. I had him ranked as my QB12 this week, and then Adam Rank pointed out, he said, whenever the fantasy community gets on a player, you know, it goes wrong, and he was right. But the one thing I was grateful for was Taylor Heinicke did hit Ricky Seals-Jones for that touchdown, and I was pretty excited about that because I used him in a league. But yeah, that Chiefs game overall was disappointing, I would say.
I definitely would say so, because I thought it was going to be a higher scoring game kind of on both sides. Kansas City sort of lived up to it. Washington definitely did not.
But that was another team. They made a sweat, like Mahomes and Hill, and it was all in the second half.
It just can't be easy. It can never, ever be easy. Ugh, anyway. Hey, are you following us on the TikTok? Because you should follow us on the TikTok. You can check us out at NFL Fantasy on TikTok. We're doing all sorts of fun and creative and hopefully informative stuff there, too. I mean, we want to entertain, but hopefully we're helping you out to win some fantasy matchups through the rest of the season. So check us out at NFL Fantasy. You can also, if you want, just check me out, too, at Marcus Grant. I have, on the suggestion of my wife, been using the Succession theme song for the last couple of TikToks. Show's back. I haven't even watched episode one of the new season yet. Are you a Succession watcher at all, Florio?
I started it over the summer, and I never finished it. I need to get back into it. I heard it gets really good. My only issue was all of the characters are very unlikable.
They're all awful people. No, they're terrible, terrible people. but you do start to sort of gravitate toward one or the other. It's a good story. They're all, you know. It's a well-written show. It's fun. If you can stand horrible people being horrible to each other. That's all. All right. Hopefully you're not horrible to people when you make trade offers, or hopefully they're not horrible to you when they offer you certain trade options. But we got a handful of guys that you should either be trading for or trading away to help make your team a little bit better. So let's start with the guys that maybe you want to bring in. Who's somebody that people should be trying to trade for right now?
I think Calvin Ridley is a really good trade target right now. It's very possible that the person that drafted him is struggling out the gate. They could be like 2-4 or maybe even worse. And if that's the case, they might be feeling like they need to make a move. Calvin Ridley was off to a slow start, but he was still averaging over 10 targets per game. The air yards have been back up in recent games, and the red zone targets have been going up as well. Plus, I know he missed that London game due to personal reasons, but we keep talking about Bymageddon and all the buys coming up. He is already had his buy, so you have him the rest of the way. He returned to practice today. I say go out and try to trade for Calvin Ridley right now, because I think the best is still yet to come.
I completely agree. I mean, we saw Kyle Pitts have the big game in London. I think Calvin Ridley is due for one of those big blow-up games as well. I would say a guy you want to trade for, though, is Daryl Henderson. And it's funny. Somebody recently, speaking of TikTok, did a TikTok where they talked about how Daryl Henderson has the chance to really help people win their leagues. Someone sent it to me saying that I should roast it, and I watched the whole thing, and I'm like, no, this actually makes a lot of sense. Daryl Henderson's getting a ton of opportunity in that backfield. He's playing about 75% of the snaps. He's getting most of the work. Occasionally, they rotate Sony Michel in to sort of give Henderson a breather, but he is the bona fide RB1, and the schedule the rest of the way is really nice, especially in the fantasy playoffs. Now, the fact that he's playing well means you probably are going to have to pay up to get him. You're going to have to give something of value away to get Daryl Henderson, but if you can work out a deal to bring him in, I absolutely think it's worth it to ride with him the rest of the season. Anybody else folks maybe should be trying to acquire at this point?
I can't quit on him. Javonte Williams, like, I think he is the better running back of the two there in Denver, and I think as the season goes on, he will, you know, get more and more work. So I'd be trying to trade for him right now before that ever happens.
I agree. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting and waiting. And Melvin Gordon's hanging on, but I think that time is coming for Javonte. I would say you also want to be trading for Chase Claypool. I know yesterday was not great. I think he had, what, 2 catches for 17 yards or something like that. The number to look at is the 7 targets, and the target share has gone up quite a bit. Even before Juju Smith-Schuster got hurt, but now with Juju gone, that target number has gone up quite a bit. it's a lot of like what you said about Robbie Anderson, Florio. The target number has been great, even if the production hasn't. And I'm still banking on at some point you're feeding Chase Claypool this many targets. It's going to be okay. That's at least what I believe.
He was good the last 2 weeks before last night. Like, so he has been productive. And he had that one catch on the sideline where if he gets that second foot in, maybe we're feeling a little bit better about him today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so those are the guys you want to trade for. Who is a guy that folks maybe should look to send away at this point?
I know people are going to get upset about this, but I think you should be trading DeAndre Hopkins away. Look, DeAndre Hopkins is still a huge name, but the name is not bringing in the type of volume that we would expect out of a what was a top five, consensus top five wide receiver coming into the year. He's averaging just over 6 targets per game this year. His target share is down almost 9% from what it was last season. The air yards are down dramatically. His yards per game, Marcus, he's averaging just 61 yards per game right now. Last year was 88. The thing that is keeping him afloat right now is the 6 touchdowns. That is what he had all of last season. So his fantasy points per game is only a point and a half less than what it was last year. But I don't trust him to keep this touchdown pace up all year. And with the yards and the targets and the air yards and all of that down right now, I think you still could sell DeAndre Hopkins as a bona fide stud wide receiver one. And I would do so before people start catching on like, hey, them spreading the ball out here is actually having a negative effect on DeAndre Hopkins.
Right. I mean, that's sort of the thing. We love passing games where we know there are only a couple of real options there. And right now, that's definitely not Arizona. Well, speaking of big names that might anger people when you say trade them away, I'm going to say Nick Chubb. And this was even before the injury happened that kept him out on Sunday. Yes, he is still a quality running back. And here's the thing. You can offer up Nick Chubb in a trade, and people aren't going to immediately think you're trying to pull the wool over on them because he is still productive, and he's going to be productive. What worries me about Nick Chubb is that he doesn't catch the football anymore. He has 5 catches all year. 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can count them on one hand, the number of catches he has this year, which is by far the fewest of any running back in the top 25 at his position. All that work's going to Kareem Hunt. And on top of it, Hunt, when he's healthy, was getting work down near the goal line. And so once these guys are back together again in this backfield, I think it goes back to that. So maybe this is an opportunity to sort of, you know, offer up Nick Chubb, get something back in return, and not feel like you're completely fleecing the other person on the other side. But I think long term, I think Nick Chubb, especially late in the season, might not be where you want to go in terms of your RB1. Anybody else that people should be wary of right now?
I completely agree with you on Nick Chubb, too. And then another player I would be looking to trade is Adam Thielen. I know he had a great game yesterday, and I seem like an Adam Thielen hater, but his yards have been down now for a year and a half. Yesterday was nice to see that he got the yardage, but he's become kind of touchdown dependent. So I think now is the perfect time to strike. Like, he's coming off of this huge game. Go ahead and trade him now while people still think that he is like a top 15 or so wide receiver, because I just don't value him as that. I think that he will have games like this, but he's also going to have games like he did the past couple of weeks where he's giving you single digits because he's not scoring a touchdown and putting up less than 50 yards.
Right. I'm with you on this, because I think yesterday was sort of nice, but I just don't know that it's going to be a weekly thing with him. And at some point, the schedule is going to get a little bit tougher for the Vikings as well, so I worry about Thielen. I would also say T. Higgins is a guy that maybe you want to send away at this point. And Higgins will have some nice games. I think he's sort of a lesser version of Adam Thielen in the sense that he's going to get some targets. He's going to have some games where he really does pop. But right now, when things are breaking down and Joe Burrow's in trouble, he's looking for Ja'Marr Chase primarily. Tyler Boyd, who I really liked coming into the year, hasn't really been much to speak of at this point. So Higgins is sort of that mid-shelf. When you go to the bar, he's kind of that mid-shelf liquor. You know, he's not the top end. You're not reaching for the high-end stuff, and you're not getting well. He's kind of mid-shelf, and so I think he's definitely a nice option to package. Again, you're not necessarily fleecing the other person, but I feel like there are more productive options you can go out there and you can find for your fantasy roster for the rest of the season.
Ja'Marr Chase is one of those top shelf ones.
Yes, no, Ja'Marr Chase is absolutely top shelf. He's like, you know, blue label sort of thing. he's gonna hit you in the wallet if you're trying to acquire Ja'Marr Chase at this point. All right, that's a good spot to take a quick break. We'll come back and we will look at the waiver wire for week six, Bimageddon, or actually say week seven. Bimageddon is coming. We're going to help you prepare for it. That's next on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Here are our week seven waiver wire targets. Florio, walk us through it, huh?
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa is my top quarterback add this week. And then Carson Wentz. I know he's Carson Wentz, but he has a really favorable schedule to help you through these buys the next couple of weeks. Justin Fields running a little bit more. D'Ernest Johnson and Demetri Felton, we spoke about them earlier, but I think both need to be rostered. Ramondre Stevenson, Devonta Freeman, Tyson Williams, some running backs that have played well and are going to be getting more usage. And then Jerick McKinnon and Captain America, Chris Evans, round out the running backs there. But we also got lots of receivers and tight ends as well that we are going to talk about. Rashad Bateman is my top add of the week this week. He tied for the team lead in targets in his first game back. I really like his upside. T.Y. Hilton returned and led the Colts in targets. Amon-Ra St. Brown saw seven targets once again for a third straight game. Mecole Hardman has just been more involved than we expected as of late. Donovan Peoples-Jones had a big game. Khalif Raymond, Dyami Brown, some deeper league options there. And then Ricky Seals-Jones, he's been getting good usage with Logan Thomas sideline. Jared Cook is on bye next week, but he's good for a touchdown. So when he's back and other tight ends are on bye, I think he will be in play. And then Mo Alie-Cox, again, a lot of byes this week. You're probably hoping for a touchdown if you need to stream a tight end. I like his chances of scoring, so I included him as one of the waiver wire tight ends this week.
That's pretty much all you want when you're looking for a tight end off the waiver wire. What is this guy's opportunity to potentially score a touchdown? Because you're not going to find a guy off the wire that's going to get you, you know, 7 catches for 80 yards. It's just, yeah, maybe you fall into that. I wouldn't count on it. So the Ravens backfield, it was straight out of 2015. Le'Veon Bell scored a touchdown, which is how the world found out that he's wearing number 17 now. And the world apparently does not approve of Le'Veon Bell wearing number 17, for whatever that's worth. But Tyson Williams, Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman, they're all sort of in the mix behind Latavius Murray there. And, you know, Murray, I know, got a little bit banged up as well. Of those other ones, though, which one do you trust the most?
I would go with Devonta Freeman, but it is tough. Latavius Murray, John Harbaugh did say after the game, like, it's not that serious of an injury, but my thinking was, like, his week 7 is definitely in jeopardy, so I do think it's worth grabbing these other running backs off the waiver wire. Devonta Freeman has consistently been used as the RB2 this year, and I think his work is safest, so he is my top grab. But I think Tyson Williams could come in here and, you know, play one of the top 2 RB roles there. I just think he's more explosive than the other guys. Lev Bell I'm leaving only for deep leagues, but I would rank him Freeman, Williams, Bell of these 3 options here.
I think I'm with you on that one. I know Freeman is maybe the one. Actually, my honest answer is none. But for the sake of this segment, I'm going to go with Devonta Freeman. You look at the Ravens carries from Sunday. Freeman had 9. Lamar Jackson had 8. Latavius Murray had 9. Le'Veon Bell had 8. I mean, that is zero clarity whatsoever. Freeman, Murray, Bell all scored rushing touchdowns, which I believe, I think I saw on Twitter the last time that happened was sometime in 2015, where they all scored touchdowns on the same week. it's a mess. I mean, the Ravens want to run the football, that part we know, but if they're really going to rotate, you know, 3 or 4 guys in there, then who knows? And the thing with Tyson Williams is that you just never know if he's going to end up being a healthy scratch in any given week. We've seen that already a couple times this year too, so that makes him really hard to trust. I'm really at the point where I just kind of want to wash my hands of it, but like I said, if I had to pick one, I guess it's Devonta Freeman, but I don't love it. Justin Fields. The last week you said you wanted to see Justin Fields score more than 9 points in a fantasy game. He did. I think he had 13. Yay! Considering the injuries, considering the buys, I'm not expecting you to say you're going to start him in a 1 quarterback league, but a 2 quarterback league, would you consider him this week?
In a 2 quarterback league, yeah, just because we're going to have so many teams on bye that the options are going to be thinner, and it is a solid matchup against the Bucks. But I still, if possible, would like to take a wait-and-see approach. I'm still a fan of holding on to this guy because I do think his ceiling is really high. Maybe at some point I need to give up on that, but I think yesterday was encouraging because he ran more. Yesterday he rushed for 42 rushing yards, which was more than he rushed for in his first 3 starts combined. So that is a big part of his game that we were kind of waiting to let the Bears let him run more. I'm waiting to see more deep shots. I'm waiting just to see him play better and the Bears to put up actual offensive numbers. But I'm still preaching take a wait and see approach. In 2 quarterback leagues, you might not have another option next week. So I think he is in play in those formats.
I think so. I think that's about the only way, though. The Bears still have the worst passing offense in the league. Fields 174 passing yards. It is a struggle for them to play offense this year, and it's disappointing. I mean, I know we were too excited about Justin Fields. Maybe we should have listened to Matt Nagy. Maybe Matt Nagy should have given us a heads up. I don't know, but
Matt Nagy really thinks he's Andy Dalton, so Justin Fields is Andy Dalton. Right. So it's all out of whack in Chicago. Allen Robinson doesn't have 11 fantasy points in a single game this year.
Ugh. Just miserable.
Like,
Yeah. Remember when we thought that Justin Fields is going to be the best quarterback he's played with? And maybe he will be, but right now he's definitely not.
The issue is Allen Robinson will be playing somewhere else when Justin Fields comes into his own and is playing like we anticipated he would this year.
That's right. Remember Allen Robinson said how much he really didn't like the city of Chicago? Like, this is making it really easy for him to leave Chicago.
His, like, get me out of here tour.
Absolutely. Oh, man. All right. All that being said, knowing that everybody's going to be hitting the waiver wire really hard this week, who is your top waiver wire target in week seven?
Unless you're desperate for a running back, I think it should be Rashad Bateman. Like, I was excited about Bateman coming into the year, as I know a lot of people were. He was going in drafts in, like, the 9th or 10th round, and then he got injured, and, you know, we stopped drafting him. But you can get a guy who was, like, a 9th or 10th round pick on your roster as a waiver wire pickup right now. I know he only had 4 catches for 29 yards this week. That's not great, but tied for the team lead in targets. He played the 2nd most snaps amongst their receivers, and he is a type of weapon like Lamar Jackson has never had before. He's a downfield threat. Lamar's had plenty of those, but he's a contested catch monster, and I think will be used a lot in the red zone. And again, kudos to Lamar Jackson. Like, yeah, he only had to throw for 167 passing yards yesterday, but he is passing way better than he gets credit for. And this is just a better passing game than I think a lot of people realize. So I do think there's room for Andrews, Brown, and Rashad Bateman to all be fantasy relevant.
Yeah, maybe the Ravens really are going to emphasize the passing game a little bit more. They've been telling us that for years. I wanted to take a wait and see attitude, but maybe it's really starting to happen.
Look at who their running backs are.
Well, that has something to do with it too. That's true. I do like the Bateman call. I'm gonna go Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you want to talk about being a truther and holding on to this one. Look, even if the production isn't always there, the targets are really starting to come for St. Brown. I came into the year thinking that maybe he would be the number 2 target in the offense. That was because I didn't think that, you know, that DeAndre Swift is going to be the target monster that he has become. So right now, I think it's still a safe bet that St. Brown is the number 3 behind Swift and Hockenson there. But on a team that's going to be playing from behind a lot, that's going to have to be throwing the football a lot, that means there's going to be a lot of opportunity. The only thing I would love would be some more yards after the catch numbers, because just working out of the slot with Jared Goff as your quarterback, you're not going to see a lot of air yards, so you're going to have to do it yourself. So that's maybe the one thing that would concern me a little bit more, but the opportunity seems to be there for St. Brown. And again, it's like you said, though, Florio, if you don't need a running back. If you need running back, and a lot of people do, that should be your top priority. But if you are somehow set at that position, then maybe you can look to a young wide receiver to kind of help you out a little bit. All right, so if you want more waiver wire options, you can go check out Florio's column. He writes it every week, NFL.com/waiver wire. He has these names and some more on there with some analysis to kind of help you make your decision heading into the week. Let's take a look at Monday Night Football as we wrap up Week 6. The Bills and the Titans. I think this could be an entertaining game. Looks like it should be a lot of fun. We're still waiting for the really big Stephon Diggs game. I know you said it was coming. I mean, that was one of your bold predictions. I don't know if it was even that bold a prediction last week. So I guess I know the answer to this question, but I will ask it anyway because that's how the show works. Will Stephon Diggs have his first 20-point game of the season tonight?
I think so. And what I really want to say is, like, he better, because I need him and Josh Allen and some fantasy teams to come through for me. But I think he has a really good game tonight. Like, the thing about Stephon Diggs is the production hasn't been there, but up until last week, the volume has. Like, he's been seeing double-digit targets per game, the air yards. He was still top 5 in the NFL in air yards. And I know some people think of it as like a DeAndre Hopkins type of situation where the weapons blossoming around him is hurting Diggs. That would be the case, I would say, if the volume wasn't going his way. They haven't been connecting for whatever reason this year. I think the fact that Dawson Knox and Emmanuel Sanders have proven to be reliable pass catchers probably takes some defensive attention away from Diggs. So if the volume is still going his way in what is the best matchup a wide receiver can have against the Titans, sorry, producer Justin, I think that Diggs gets 20 fantasy points. And if he doesn't, I'll probably just keep predicting it until he does.
I mean, yeah, if you keep saying it, eventually you're going to be right, right? I mean, just like all the people who are saying Tom Brady is due for a fall off. Like, one of these years, we're going to be right. I mean, you know, we might all be old and gray and on walkers when it happens, but whatever.
You know what's going to... you know what's going to happen with Brady. Like, I'm going to be like, all right, no more doubting him. And then that's going to be the year he falls.
Of course. Yeah, the moment we all decide, like, we'll just believe, then he'll fall apart. I agree, though. I think this is a big week coming for Stephon Diggs. We have seen some receivers have some big games against the Titans secondary this year. In fact, I think Mecole Hardman had a 100-yard game. I think Tyler Lockett might have had a 100-yard game. I may be getting this wrong, but I know there's some big games that came against this Tennessee secondary. I think Stephon Diggs can do that one as well. Meanwhile, though, the Titans have not given up a ton of yards on the ground. So for Zach Moss, who's getting most of the work for the Bills, I'm putting the over-under at 65 rushing yards tonight. Over-under Zach Moss, 65 rushing yards.
I'm going to say under. That would be a season high for him. He does not have 65 rushing yards in a game this year. While I admitted I was wrong on Devin Singletary being the lead back, I think Zach Moss is the back that you most want to roster for fantasy purposes. Devin Singletary still has a role, which limits the usage for Zach Moss. Moss is getting a little bit more targets, and he's getting carries in the red zone, but they're still splitting carries. So I'm going to say he goes under there. I think it's more of a passing game for the Bills than a running game.
I would agree. I'm going to go under as well, just because, like I said, the Titans have been fairly good against the run. And I think that is going to continue. By the way, producer Justin pointed out, it's probably Christian Kirk I'm thinking of. He had 70 yards and a couple touchdowns. Nuke Hopkins had 83 yards and a couple of touchdowns as well. So, like I said, though, there have been some receivers having some nice games against the Titans. But I'm going to go under on Zach Moss and his rushing yards. On the other side, Julio Jones is expected back. Now, I did see this morning that A.J. Brown has been changed to questionable because he came down with an illness. So that's something maybe to sort of, you know, we'll see what happens when the inactives come out. But the expectation is that A.J. Brown will be there. So believing that the Titans will have their two top receivers, who do you think has the bigger game? Is it A.J. Brown or is it Julio?
I think it's A.J. Brown, but I say that with very little confidence because he was already playing reduced snaps and now he's dealing with this illness. I wouldn't be surprised if Julio Jones is on a snap count too, though, an older receiver coming off of a hamstring injury. And the thing is, the Bills have been the toughest matchup for receivers this year, and it's not like they haven't played good receivers. They've played Tyreek Hill and Terry McLaurin and Brandon Cooks and a couple of others, and none of them topped 15 points against them. Only Mecole Hardman has. I think the Bills, with their safeties, are really good at stopping the deep ball. I think it'll be more underneath and catch after the run, which I think better suits A.J. Brown's skill set than Julio Jones.
I agree with that, too. I'm going with A.J. Brown in this one, too. I feel like, well, they need to get both of these guys going, but I think they especially need to get A.J. Brown going to really get this offense kicking into full gear, and we haven't really seen that yet. The target share has sort of been there. What we've loved about A.J. Brown his first couple of years is that he's been incredibly efficient with a relatively small number of opportunities, and that hasn't happened this year. I do expect, though, that it's going to get better. We always talk about regression, and this would be, I guess the term is positive regression. I feel like we need another term, like progression. Can we call it that? I don't know. Anyway, I think this is an opportunity for A.J. Brown to step up and have one of those A.J. Brown-type games that we have not seen from neither he nor Julio Jones this year. Which, side note, are you at all worried that we haven't seen anything big from either one of those guys this year?
A bit, yeah. Like we had one good yardage game out of Julio Jones. I'm more concerned about that hamstring because he's, getting up there in age. I still think both of them will be fine down the stretch, but it doesn't fully make sense to me. I think one thing, Marcus, that we kind of overlooked was the change in offensive coordinator here, because it has hurt Ryan Tannehill and both of these receivers, whereas Ryan Tannehill, like, when he had Arthur Smith, you could set your watch by that guy. Like, he was going to throw multiple passing touchdowns almost every week, give you around 20 fantasy points. He has multiple passing touchdowns in just one game all year so far.
I remember I tweeted my concerns earlier in the year, and a whole bunch of people, mostly Raider fans, jumped in my mentions to say, well, it's Todd Downing's fault, because Todd Downing was once the OC of the Raiders, and things did not go well that year offensively for the Silver and Black. So they told me that I should have known better, because this is what Todd Downing does. I didn't know better. I didn't know that's what Todd Downing does. So anyway, should be an interesting one to watch, though. We will certainly come back and talk about the fallout from that and get you ready for the upcoming week once we come back on Wednesday. Because in the meantime, for us, that is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, a fly without wings should be called a walk. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. Get vaccinated. And we will see you on Wednesday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone. What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.